Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Some time ago, a wise old priest, a spiritual counselor, gave me a bit of advice, especially if people came to me and asked me for spiritual counsel. He said to me, there are three important questions that you ask. Why am I here? Where am I going? And how do I get there? Now, at first, it sounds like something you might get from a motivational speaker speaking to a group of CEOs. But in fact, he touched upon a reality that is very scriptural. And I want to speak today with you about the scripture readings that you are hearing in this Easter season, and how beautifully the three scriptural readings are put together, and how carefully the Church has organized our lectionary of scripture readings for the Mass. For in the Easter season, and emerging out of these scripture readings, are also three questions. The first is, who is Jesus Christ? The second, how do we live his message? And the third, what is the goal of our discipleship? And I think they have a certain coherence with the three questions of why I am here, where am I going, and how do I get there? And the very structure of the liturgy reveals its meaning and purpose. For we read abundantly during this Easter season from three principal books of the New Testament: the Gospel of John, the Acts of the Apostles, and the Book of Revelation. Let's take first that, why am I here? I think the answer to that question lies in a deeper knowledge and understanding of the person of Jesus Christ, and a realization that, as John Paul II said in his first encyclical as Pope, that Jesus Christ reveals God to man, but man to himself, revealing not only the great work and truth and goodness of God, but also revealing to each of us human persons who we are and what we should be doing and why we are here. I think in contemplating the words of John in his gospel, we come to know Jesus Christ more deeply. For John's gospel is the more theological of the gospel accounts, and one that wants to get to the very heart of the meaning of the person of Jesus Christ and his coming among us in our flesh. And to know this Jesus Christ as he is, not as we might imagine him, or not as he might be brought to us by a secular and barely believing world, but who he actually is as he comes to us in sacred scripture and in the life of the Church. For to know Jesus Christ is to know the meaning of being a human person made in the image and likeness of God, and also given an eternal destiny. So why are we here? We are here to live out a life given to us by a gracious and deeply loving God, a life that is filled with great promise, and in fact a life that has an eternal destiny. And to know the full meaning of that life is then to know Jesus Christ. We are here to live out that life, to experience the richness of the life given to us by God, and eventually to achieve that life in Christ that lasts forever. And we are here also to bring others to know that great name and to learn to love it as we love it. The second question, where am I going, brings up the question of ultimate purpose, a goal. What, in fact, shapes our lives, our decisions? How do we choose? And in order to do this correctly, I think we have to have very clearly before our minds and within our hearts a sense of what we are called to be and where we are called to be at the end of our natural existence here on earth. And in helping us to answer this question, the church in the lectionary gives us as a second reading the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament. Now, of course, that book of Revelation is filled with symbols, with mysterious sayings. And in fact, I think you know that over the centuries, that book of Revelation has just been the source of extraordinary speculation on the second coming of Jesus Christ, what it is going to look like, what are the meanings of the names of the beast. And in fact, that mysterious number 666, which the author of the book of Revelation says in a kind of a parenthesis, and you know what that means. Well, actually, we don't, but we're guessing at it. But in fact, if you look at the book of Revelation as a whole, it is, of course, a book that points toward the second coming of Jesus Christ and the culmination of all history. But if you read it carefully, you will realize that the book of Revelation is an extended liturgy, an act of worship. And it opens up a heaven that is filled with extraordinary power, extraordinary beauty, and it is a heaven that is motivated entirely by the presence, the dynamic presence of God, around whom all the saints and angels revolve in a continuing act of praise and adoration, filled with extraordinary light, with a powerful sense of peace and goodness. Heaven is where we are going. And then the third question, how do we get there? Well, I think in answer to this question, the church has allowed us to read abundantly, as our first reading on Sunday, from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, this book is a description of how the very first followers of Jesus Christ, the first Christians, actually lived out the Christ life. How in their own lives that continuing presence of the resurrected Lord, given to them through the power of the Spirit and within the sacraments, how they lived that Christ life in a very real world. The apostles lived in a world as actually as ours, filled with people who were there trying to make a living, having to deal with a powerful, overweening empire whose presence was known to most of them through soldiers and tax collectors. They had to deal with illnesses, with challenges, and they had to live in a culture that was an actual culture, but often hostile. How did they do this? And that's what makes the Acts of the Apostles so interesting, because it describes not only what the apostles preached, but how that apostolic community lived. It was a community that was imbued by the Holy Spirit to speak powerfully the name of Jesus, to proclaim his gospel, and to do it in a way that people in various cultures, various countries, could understand it. That power of the Spirit given in the gift of languages was given not simply to speak a language that apparently no one understands or forms a kind of ecstatic withdrawal from this world, but the gift of languages was given so that the apostles might speak the appropriate word in a word that anyone could understand. And that is what we are called to do as well, to live the Christ life in our actual world, here and now, not to become dreamily attached to a supposed historical reconstruction, but to live the reality of a risen Christ here and now, which means that we have to learn both the power and the depth and the truth of the gospel, but how to express it in a way that touches the hearts and minds of others. We have to remain true to the actual gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the deep responsibilities of the church is to maintain the integrity of that gospel. For as Peter proclaimed to the people in Jerusalem after the gift of the Holy Spirit, there is no other name in heaven or on earth by which we are saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And in speaking that word with power, we give witness to it by our lives. That, I think, is another powerful lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, that the disciples preach not only by their words, but by their witness, by the way they live their lives. In the early Christian church, what surprised the pagan authorities, and even though they were hostile, by the great peaceful and joyful life the Christians seemed to be living. I remember a note written by Pliny the Younger, he was known. He was a governor of a Roman province in the early part of the second century. And he wrote back to the emperor. He said, I know that these Christians are banned by law from worshiping as they do, but I will tell you they are some of the best citizens I have in the province by their care and their charity. And it is by that witness that we also come to preach the true gospel. But we are also told in the lives of the apostles in the book of Acts that we have to learn to do this with courage. For not only did the Holy Spirit, when it descended upon the disciples, grant them that gift of proclamation and that gift of powerful speaking, it granted them courage to continue to do it. For as Peter and John said to the judges of the Sanhedrin, it is better to obey God than man. So I always thank that spiritual counselor that I knew so many years ago. I always think of those three questions and ask myself those three questions practically every day when I come to meditate on sacred scripture. But I am also grateful for the way in which the church has so presented the sacred liturgy to us that in the scriptures of Easter, we cannot only hear the three major questions, but also know the way by which they can be answered.